Go ahead and get started. This is the book, Spirit Life Training. We'll be jumping in and out of this book. This class is going to be strictly about the soul, all right? Because the soul is so misunderstood in the body of Christ, because we deal with the spirit world so much that we forget to deal with our soul. And turn to 3 John. Y'all know this scripture, 3 John, verse 2. It's funny that John would write this. It's funny that John would write this because he equates how we make it in life based on how we think. Now, let's get one thing out of the way. There is absolutely nothing wrong with your spirit. Nothing. Your spirit is perfect. Your spirit is perfect. Before you got born again, your spirit was perfectly lying dormant. How I know this? Let's prove it. How we know this? Genesis 1:26, God said, let us make man after our image and our likeness. So God said, let us make man how we think he ought to look, and then we're going to make him like us. That's after our likeness. So in doing that, we took on his spirit. Because remember, he breathed into us life. So we took on his spirit. So now for us to say we have imperfect spirits or something wrong with our spirits is to say something is wrong with God. So ain't nothing wrong with God. I'm made after his likeness, so that means nothing wrong with my spirit. So what is giving me trouble? My soul. All right? So this whole class is going to be us understanding and breaking down our soul, breaking down the different components of our soul, so that we'll know which part of our soul is causing us to trip. Because if we miss God at any point in our lives, it's not because of our spirit, it's because of our soul. All right? So here in 3 John, the second verse, John writing, he said, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest what? Prosper and be in health in relation to your soul prospering. That's really what that means. So us prospering and us being in health is directly correlated to our soul prospering. So if our thoughts are jacked, prosperity going to be jacked. Health is going to be jacked. You got me? But if our thoughts are proper, then we're going to have the proper prosperity, proper health. All right. What I want you to know is that God has a soul. God has a mind. Isaiah 1. Isaiah 1, thank you, Elizabeth. I read this over and over, but this is my first time really paying attention to this. Look at verse 16. Wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Verse 17. Learn to do well, seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead for the widow. Verse 18, come now and let us what? Reason together. Says who? The Lord. Throw your sins. Another word for sins is actions. Though your actions be as scarlet, meaning red, meaning skewed, messed up, tainted, tinted, they shall be what? as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. So in other words, the word there, sin, don't just mean, allow me to say it, cardinal sins, you know, lying, stealing, cheating. That's not, it just means your actions. Other words, we have to come and reason with God. Reason means let's put our minds together. God is asking you to come put your mind with his so that your thoughts that existed before you put your mind with his, they may be wrong and may be taking you the wrong direction. But once he finished thinking with you, then you'll have the right thoughts and know which way to go. Right? Then you can get to verse 19. If ye be what? Willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. So I can't be willing and obedient if I haven't reasoned with God. Because if I haven't reasoned with God, there's no guarantee that my thoughts are from God. Hope that's making sense. Very familiar scripture, Romans 12. Romans 12, verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye what? Transformed by the what? Renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The word prove simply means to recognize. So I won't recognize where God is moving if I don't renew my mind with the word of God. So if I don't reason with God, if I don't reason with him, I won't be able to recognize where he's moving. Because I won't have no clue. I don't have no point of reference. I don't know even what God is thinking. I don't know what God is capable of. I don't know what God would do in this situation. I don't know. Because I haven't spent time with him. I haven't let him wash my thoughts. Are y'all seeing this? Now, there's no neutral in this. There's no neutral. Either you're going to conform or you're going to be transformed. All day long. Your environment is sending thoughts to you all day long. Even if you're in a dark room by yourself, your environment is sending thoughts to you. Listen to me, and I hope you're listening. It's sending thoughts to you. So if you don't have nothing to compare those thoughts to, then they will take root in your thought process. When they take root in your thought process, then it will inevitably come out in your actions. Your environment produces your thoughts. Your thoughts produce your feelings. Your feelings cause you to act. And your action brings results. That's how you operate. That's how God designed you to operate. So if you want dominion on the outside, you're going to have dominion on the inside. Dominion can't take place on the outside until it takes place on the inside. And it's not talking about dominion in your spirit, because you already got dominion in your spirit. So it's talking about your mind. How many are ever... It could be a Coke can, soda can, Coke bottle. Ever dropped on you, or you have seen somebody shake it up? You pop that top, what's going to happen? Right? That's how your spirit is. Your mind is the cap on your spirit. If you don't unscrew your mind, power will be released. Is this making sense? So I have to, what I mean by unscrew my mind, I have to unscrew my mind not being conformed. This is the oldest trick. Go to Genesis. The oldest trick that Satan, it's the first trick and the only trick that Satan has ever used. He hadn't changed. He hadn't gotten more clever. I mean, it's the same. The only thing that God will never mess with on you is your will. Never. Because when God begins to control your will, you no longer can love him. Because now you're forced to do. If God takes control of your will, then you're forced to do what he's saying to do. When you're forced to do what you're saying to do, love is not involved. It's now a master and a slave. This is why the tree of the knowledge of good and evil was sitting in the center of the garden, unhindered, unchecked. Wasn't no barbed wire fence around the tree of knowledge of good and evil. He said it in the midst of the garden. Why? Because the only way true love can be exemplified is by choice. You can't force nobody to love you. People trying all day long. They're trying to force people to love you. You can't force nobody to love you. You can't do that. So God put that tree of knowledge of good and evil in the center of the garden so that Adam and Eve can always have a choice. So when they did what God was asking them to do, it was by choice. It's because they loved him. All right? So Satan, once again, anytime Satan seems like he's defeating you, or you in a situation in which you look like you ain't winning, all done happened. This all done happened. Satan has somehow swindled you out of your power, went around the corner and come back to you with your own power. All right, let's read it. Watch, let's read this. Watch, let's read this. Watch. Go to chapter 3, verse 1. Watch this. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field that the Lord had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, that means in the middle of the garden, God has said ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye shall die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. All Satan did was give Eve and Adam a lie and trick them out of power that was already there. Every time a thought comes to you about how this ain't gonna happen for you, this ain't gonna happen to you, you're defeated, this ain't how it's gonna happen for you, this not gonna work. Anytime any thought comes like that, that's Satan trying to take from you what you already got. Did Adam and Eve at the time no good and evil? No. They ain't no good and evil at the time, because they only been exposed to good. But if they would have allowed God to, if they'd kept spending time with God, God was going to expose them to evil in a way in which they had dominion over it to change it. Is this making sense? All right, we went over this last year. You know, y'all know the garden wasn't all over the earth, right? It was a specific place. So when Adam and Eve ate out the tree, God said, I can't stay like this. So he had to put them somewhere. So he put them in the darkness. He put them outside of Eden. Darkness don't mean they didn't have the sun coming up. The sun was coming up. Darkness mean now you got to face all these troubles without the help of God, because you chose to get your information from somewhere else. So anytime Satan comes to you with something that doesn't agree with the word, that's why you have to Psalms 119. Psalms 119. Verse 9. This is King David talking. He gives us some insight. He said, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereunto according to thy word. So when we don't hide the word in our hearts, watch this. Verse 10, with my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Watch this. With my whole heart. Whenever you see the word heart, talking about soul, talking about mind. So with my whole mind, are you seeing this? So when we don't hide the word of God in our heart, in our mind, Romans 12 and 2, then we're automatically going to conform to the world system and be subject to the results of the world system. Are you seeing this? A lot of times, the situations we face, I've said this before to you, and it's going to make more sense now. You were born to face darkness. Whether you believe it or not, you were born to face darkness. You were born to face situations. So the question is not God, is not to God, is why this happened to me. That's not the question. You in the situation, so why is it relevant? Why is it relevant? The question is, God, what are we going to do? So now, if I haven't been spending time with the word of God, I won't be able to recognize if God's speaking or not. See, it's too late. It's almost too late to start trying to spend time with God when you're in the midst of a situation. They just for instance, today is Wednesday. Saturday got a 26-mile marathon, and we all got to run it. It's too late for me. I'm not gonna make it. It's too late. Ain't no sense in me trying to go outside trying to run now. I ain't prepared for this. I ain't prepared to run no 26 miles. I ain't prepared to run no marathon. I'm gonna fail. I'm going to black out somewhere. I'm not prepared for this. Same thing when you get in the midst of a situation that you're battling. It's almost, could I do the 26 miles? Ew, it's going to be rough. It's going to be rough. But if I would have started a year ago, 2 years ago, you know, run quarter of a mile 1 week, do that every day, then bring it up to half a mile, bring it up to a mile, bring it up to 2 miles, bring it up to 3 miles, building my stamina. You know, I was reading behind a runner who was explaining health and was not, And he was saying how a marathon is mostly mental. So you think you're preparing your body, but you're really preparing. Because your body going to do what it's going to do. Your body going to go through its certain feelings because it's designed that way. What you have to do is mentally overcome. Same thing when you're walking with God. You go through situations, certain things are going to happen. But you have to be mentally prepared to be able to overcome these things. See, this is why Abraham built altars. He was nomadic. Abraham was nomadic, meaning he traveled and basically traveled the same path based on seasons because he had herds, you know, different animals. He had to feed them. He had to know whether grass was going to be green at a certain time of year. So he was nomadic. And every time God did something for Abraham out of the ordinary, he would build an altar at that spot. Then he would move on. God would do something else for Abram. He'll build an altar. He would move on. He'll build an altar. So it came to a point that after a while, he would come back to that first altar he built. That first altar was not to help his spirit. That altar was to help his mind. To what? Remember, one of the aspects we're going to talk about this year is memory. He wanted to remind himself that, hey, God did this. So it was his mind he had to get straight. That was Abraham's version of Romans 12 and 2. See, we got it good. Because Abraham ain't had no Bible. Moses didn't have no Bible. Moses was the beginning of the Bible. So for us to have God's word recorded where we can hide it in our hearts and condition our minds. Not condition your spirit, condition your mind. Are you seeing this? So everywhere you see the word heart in the Bible is talking about your soul, talking about your mind. The Bible deals with your mind more than your spirit. My soul longeth after thee, David wrote. You hear, let this mind, Philippians 2 and 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. Notice say, let this spirit be in you. Why ain't say, let this spirit be in you? Think about it. Why it says, why didn't say, let this spirit be in you? It's already in you. Jesus in Matthew's the fourth chapter, is the Matthew's the fourth chapter. That's when he went to the wilderness, right? I think it's the Matthew's fourth chapter. When he went to the wilderness, that was a mind test. And then Jesus made it unfair. You know how Jesus made it unfair? Jesus made it unfair. See, we be going all into the supernatural and being all super spiritual. No. Let's be simple. Jesus made it unfair. Jesus knew he was coming to earth to redeem man, right? Put man back in his former position. So in order to put man back in his former position, he had to pass the test that man failed. He had to pass the test that man failed before he can go to the cross. Because he couldn't go to the cross until he felt the temptations of man. Because he couldn't redeem us if he hadn't gone through what we went through and succeeded. So his blood could be pure. When it's shed, we can access the blood of Jesus and become like him, pure. Right? So Jesus had to go through the same test we went through, right? So Jesus understood this. So he come to earth. He was looking for the opportunity for Satan to do to him what he did to Adam and Eve. That's what Matthew 4 is about. It was a test of the soul. And food was involved. Right? So not only was food involved, but the will was involved. Right? So Jesus made it unfair. How did Jesus make it unfair? Just like I believe it was Elijah. Elijah was trying to get the people of God's attention. And because at the time, the god Baal was taking over people's attention, and the children of Israel started leaning toward that direction, you know, because every time God would be quiet on them, they wouldn't wait to hear God's voice. They'd go try to figure out their own God and find their own God. They did it over and over again. That's how they got kings, because they didn't want to wait on the God. Anyway, it's another story. But Elijah, to get the people of God's attention, he made it unfair. He said, okay, we're going to see who God can answer. So y'all build y'all altar and call y'all God. And whichever God, and I'm going to call my, whatever God could come and consume the fire, let that God be God. So they built the altar, calling their God, cut themselves and hollered out. Nothing happened. So Elijah said, okay, let's build my altar. They built the altar. He said, you know what? Dig a trench around the altar. I want y'all to take all the water y'all can find. Douse my altar with the water. And matter of fact, when you dig the trench, fill it up with water. He simply turned around and called on the God of fire, our Heavenly Father. And God came and consumed that whole altar to a point that he burnt the dirt. Go read it. Licked up all the water in the trench they built around it. Burnt up everything. So the people of Israel now turned their attention back to God. Elijah made it unfair. Jesus made his confrontation with the enemy unfair. How he did that? Jesus went into the wilderness 40 days and 40 nights, didn't eat nothing. Didn't eat nothing. Nothing. Coming out the wilderness, met Satan. Let's do this. Satan started offering him things. He offered him bread, offered him kingdom, offered him all this stuff. Jesus said, I don't want none of this. Why Jesus didn't, watch this now, watch this. Why did Jesus didn't want none of that stuff? He had it already. He already had it. So if he already possessed it, there was nothing. Satan was trying to give him what he already had. So now Jesus being hungered, he offered him food. Jesus, I can go get my own food. I can do this. I can handle this. So Satan, I don't want nothing from you. You're trying to give me what's already mine. So when Jesus dealt with that, that's when it positioned him to go and be able to die on the cross for us. So that this mind could be in us. That no matter what we face, no matter what we go through, there is an answer. There is a solution. We just can't let our minds be the thing that stops it. This is making sense. So the mind, I'm finna close right here. The mind, we're gonna study the mind throughout the year and throughout this particular semester, and we're gonna delve into the different aspects of the mind. We're gonna see how confessions fit into the scheme of things, because confessions don't make nothing happen. You confessing something 55 times don't make nothing happen. It doesn't. Confession is not for God. It's for you. Affirmations are not for God. They're for you. To condition your thought process. So that if you wake up tomorrow and what you've been confessing the past 5 weeks ain't showed up, you don't let your mind wander and say, well, I guess it ain't gonna happen. No. Are y'all seeing this? So we're going to break down imaginations and memory, emotions, intellect, and will. We're going to break down all these things because they all work collectively. And if any one of them is out of whack, the other one's going to be out of whack. So you got to find out where the whackiness originated and go and deal with it. A lot of times we can't accomplish things. Let me read this statement to you. Let me find it. I'm going to close with this statement. Let me find it real quick. The statement I sent to my daughters. Let's see. All right. One of the things which greatly hinders us from demonstrating a greater degree of prosperity is what we may call race thought or race consciousness. This is the result of all that the race has thought or believed. We are immersed in it, and those who are receptive to it are controlled by it. All thought seeks expression along the lines of least resistance. When we become negative or fearful, we attract that kind of thought and condition. Listen, we must be sure of ourselves. We must be positive. We must not be aggressive, but absolutely sure and poised within. Within, just not talk about our spirit, poised within our minds. Negative people are always picking up negative conditions. They get into trouble easily. Persons who are positive draw positive things. They are always successful. Few people realize that the law of thought is the great reality, that thoughts produce things. Thoughts produce things. Hebrews 11 and 3. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. Words are first thoughts. God first thought about light. Then he spoke it. And what happened? When we come to understand this power of thought, we will carefully watch our thinking to see that no thought enters that we should not want made into a thing. We can guard our minds by knowing that no negative thought can enter. We can daily practice by saying that no race thought of limitation can enter my mind, no matter who tries to impose the thought. That spirit forms himself around us, meaning God, forms himself around us and protect us from all fear and from all limitation. Let us clothe ourselves in the great realization that all power is ours and that nothing else can enter. Let us fill the atmosphere of our homes and places of business with streams of positive thought. Other people will feel this and will like to be near us and enter into the things that we enter into. In this way, we shall be continually drawing only the best. That's Romans 12 and 2. So I literally fill my house. Well, put my Apple TV on, I put my iPad on, and I wanted to play scriptures. Put a house on. Sometimes I put my cell phone talking to myself. I record myself. And then I play it. And do you know, watch this, do you know the most powerful voice is your own voice? Some of y'all have never recorded yourself or listened to yourself. I don't like the way I sound. Forget that. Hear yourself telling yourself you're rich. Hear yourself telling yourself you healed. Hear yourself telling yourself today gonna be a great day. Hear yourself telling yourself that no weapon formed against me is gonna prosper. Hear yourself telling yourself that. Yeah, I know. Apostle has a mighty powerful voice. But you don't believe what he's saying until you're convinced about what he's saying. Mm-hmm. Until you say it to yourself. Mm-hmm. That's the way God designed us. So therefore, nobody can control us. I choose. See what Apostle, I choose to submit. It's not about control. I choose to. So I choose to hear his voice. So therefore, I can bypass my voice to hear his voice because I've chosen to do that. And at times, I record myself and talk to myself and tell myself, especially when you're facing something, You take the time, write down what you want to hear, what you want to happen. What scriptures you want to come to pass? What scriptures have the Holy Spirit illuminated your heart? Write them down. Speak it. Record it. You got a record on your phone. Use technology to your advantage. Listen to me today. Use it to your advantage. Record it. Let it talk to you. Let it say to you what you want, what you want to happen. You want your house paid off? Tell yourself it's paid off. God, and then you put in there, now self, be sure to listen for God's wisdom. He's going to give you wisdom on how to pay it off. Be sure to listen for it. That's you telling yourself. Ain't nobody else going to tell you. Ain't nobody else going to talk to you. You tell yourself. I listen, I talk to myself and I listen to myself. I do that. Because if I don't transform my mind, it's going to automatically conform. If I don't transform, I'm going to conform. I don't want to conform. I don't want the results everybody else getting by aimlessly going through life, not controlling their thoughts, not controlling their feelings, not controlling their memories, not controlling these things. I don't want life to just hand me what it wants me to have. If life try to hand me what it wants me to have, I'm going to reject it and tell life, this is what you're going to do. But it's with your thoughts. Your spirit ready to roll. Your spirit is always ready to roll. It's your thoughts. What if this? Why this? What? Put them in check. Last scripture, 2 Corinthians 10. Casting down, verse 5, casting down imagination and every high thing that does what? Exalts itself against what? So the basis has to be the knowledge of God. That's why Romans 12 and 2 is so important, because we're going to talk about the soul and we're going to go through the soul throughout this whole semester, this whole year. But the basis is going to have to be God's knowledge, God's word. Everything will have to be compared to God's word. If you don't have nothing, because you alone, watch this, you alone can't think proper thoughts. Why? Because this world system is designed to make you conform. All Satan did was make Adam and Eve conform by telling them lies, by telling them something, or trying to give them something they already had. So therefore, the word of God gonna have to be the basis, gonna have to be the foundation that I try everything against. The word of God is gonna be the thing that's gonna help me shape my thoughts. The word of God is gonna be the very thing that helps me shape what I want to happen in my life. What assurances did I have? I know the thoughts. Jeremiah 29:11. I know the thoughts that I think towards you. Thoughts of peace, not of evil. To give you an expected end. So now if there is an expected end, there's also an unexpected end. Adam and Eve chose an unexpected end because they didn't give God a chance to have his thoughts mingle with their thoughts. All Adam and Eve had to do was hold, say, you know what? God telling me I shouldn't eat off this tree. I'm getting this information that I should have this tree. Let me go to God. Let me go to the Word of God and see what it says. And in going to the Word of God, thank you, Holy Spirit, in going to the Word of God, you encounter John 5 and I think it's 5, John 5 and 39. Search the scriptures. For in them, you think you have life, but what the scriptures doing? So now, you don't have to just stop at what's written. Now you're searching the scriptures, and now you done got over into a place where you're talking to God. And God is able to massage your thoughts. God is able to massage your soul. God is able to strengthen you in your inner man. Not talking about your spirit. Your spirit got all the strength it needs. Your inner man is talking about your soul, your mind. And God is able to strengthen you. Is this making sense? So this particular semester, let me make this disclaimer right here. I'm not talking about positive thinking. I'm not talking about positive thinking. So if you go out there and start thinking positive thoughts and just thinking positive thoughts, that's called mental assenting. Mental assenting is when you try to take the Bible and use all the strengths of the Bible without the purpose for the strengths. When you try to take the power of the Bible and use it without the purpose for the power. None of this is going to work if God ain't the center. None of this ain't going to work if God's agenda is not in your heart. That's the difference between these people who do positive thoughts, have these seminars. They subject to fail. They get some things happening. But Satan come get that anytime he get ready. Because Satan can take their power from them at any time. Because they don't know. I'm not talking about positive thinking. That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is having a sound mind. I'm talking about being able to have clear thoughts in the midst of trouble. And those clear thoughts open you up to power that those who don't have God's heart agenda at heart don't have. Where God will come in and just change things for you. Just change things for you because he know he got to get you out of the situation to get you to the next place. Yes, sir. Is this making sense?
Yes, sir.
So this semester, we're going to be in and out of this particular book. We definitely going to go through the five aspects of the soul. But when we finish this semester, you're going to be able to hear the word of God clearer. You're going to have much more command over the people around you. When I say command of the people around you, I'm not talking about controlling them. I'm talking about controlling how they try to control you. We're going to talk about victimization. Not letting people pull your strings. There's certain people know how to pull your strings. Family members know how to pull your strings. Get you to act a certain way. Get you angry. You know when you're angry, you can't think. When you get mad, you can't think. Satan knows this. See, he tried to get you angry. That's why... God puts you in a place, and the first thing Satan do is put somebody around you that's gonna make you mad. Because if he can get you not to think, he just bottled up your spirit. He just bottled up all the power that God has given you. You have a good night. All right, environment produces your thoughts. Environment produces your thoughts. Your thoughts produce your feelings. Your feelings cause you to act. And your action brings results. No problem. Y'all have a good night.